Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 20, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In God will I trust, though my counselors say, oh, flee as a bird to your mountain away. The wicked are strong and the righteous are weak. Foundations are shaken, yet God will I seek. Psalter number 20, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the second epistle of Peter, in the third chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. David Arnold Dusen, who are blessed with the birth of a well-born child in this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have heard already of thy great blessings that thou dost give unto us. And now, in this morning hour, in the early hours of this thy holy day, and then thou hast given in that little family a well-born child. Thou hast brought life into this world. Thou hast spared mother and child together, and we may acknowledge thee, Lord, that new life that may come into such a wicked world, and she may come also, as we read in thy word, with such a wicked heart, a heart that goes along with all the wickedness that is to be found in this world. Oh, we say innocent child, but no, we are guilty children born into this world. Oh, remember yet a mother and child together, and give that it may be a child born to be born again. And oh, remember us all with our dear children. Oh, we have life in this world, but we have read together out of thy holy word that this world that is coming to its end, and then all the things that are here below, they are going to be burned with fire, as once that it was destroyed by water. Then thou wilt cut off all the wickedness and all the evil, and thou wilt forever separate it into that eternal abyss, into that place where hope shall never, never come. Oh, grant that together with our children we may receive a little impression thereof. Lord, it is thy own word, but we have no impression in our hearts, and we have no life in our soul by nature. And we are so hard-hearted. We can hear of the blessedness of thy dear children. Oh, we can hear of the great glory of thee, and how that thou wilt take thy people unto thyself. Lord, by nature we are not drawn thereby. We have no desire after thee or for the knowledge of thy ways. And we have no desire that thou shouldest reign over us. So steeped in sin are we, and such lovers of all that is here below, everything that is passing away, all our affections, they are tied to these things, so that we do not want to leave them all behind. Oh, grant us truth in the inward parts. Give us that true saving faith that may begin even in this very day to believe in thee and to believe thy holy word, that soon it is all going to depart. And when it is all that we may have here below, then we are left with nothing, nothing, nothing. Lord, remember us together. Oh, send thy Spirit this day. In this, Lord, we are helpless. We can do nothing, and we deserve that thou wouldst leave us to ourselves. We deserve that thou wouldst never look upon us, but that we would only increase our judgment by an outward knowledge of thy truth, in the hardening of our evil and sinful hearts. Lord, it is thy holy day. Thou hast instituted it for that purpose, that thou may call sinners to thyself. Oh, may it be this day amongst us and our dear children, that thou may come and that thou may speak thus far and no further, that thou may say to the dead and to the dry bones, live. Oh, then we shall live. Then we shall begin to love thee. Then we shall begin to hate sin. And we shall begin to flee from the judgment to come. Lord, wilt thou give us then a hastening for the sake of our life, in the short time that thou dost say that we have yet here below with our dear children. Oh, impress the shortness of our life, the seriousness of our life upon our soul, and give us to begin to hasten this day, to turn from all our evil ways, and to draw nigh to the true and to the living God. Oh, to make a true and an upright confession that we have sinned against Thee, and that we deserve to be cast out of Thy sight forever and forever. We indeed justly, we receive the due reward for our deeds. But oh, give us that cry in the midst of all that is that we deserve. Oh, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember me. Oh, give it in the hearts of young and old, of the boys and of the girls. Look upon our young people, Lord, our children who see a whole life ahead of them. But it is a life that is fading away. And we have so many expectations in the days of our youth. And they all need one by one to be broken down and to come to nothing. That we may have no expectation in the things that are here below and in ourself. And that we may look upon to Thee from whom all our help must come. Lord, we beseech Thee, oh, do it for Thy name's sake. Remember Thy own dear children. Oh, we live, Lord, in a day wherein the devil, he seeks to destroy Thy church. It was from the beginning, but his devices, they have become so many. All, especially when the ends of the world are come upon us. Oh, that Thou may give them Thy children to take heed and to be watchful against all the devices of the prince of darkness, and that Thou would endue them with a double portion of Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that Thou would give exercises, Lord, in the ways of grace, that Thy children's mouths may yet go open. In the poor days in which we are living, oh, that our children may yet hear it from the mouth of this one or of that one. How good that the Lord is to a wretched and a polluted sinner. Oh, that they may be given to speak yet of the mercy of the blessed bridegroom. Oh, how precious, how white and ruddy. Oh, how the chiefest among 10,000 that he is in their sight. Oh, that they may be given to say, he took me from the horrible pit and from the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Oh, remember Thy church, Lord. Draw once again. Instruct them through us also, could it please Thee. Look upon us all together. Oh, keep, Lord, our families. Help us as parents. Oh, we are so short in everything and in the instruction of our children and in warning of our children. Lord, wilt Thou take it over for us? Oh, wilt Thou grant Thy grace unto them? Wilt Thou forgive our many, many sins? And wilt Thou cause us to walk more faithfully? Wilt Thou give us wisdom, give us discretion? Oh, seek us out. And remember all those that have no families. Lord, be with those that are lonely, that are not married. Wilt Thou give them also companionship? Oh, may it be with others that are in this life and that may be amongst us. But oh, may it be that especially they may find that companionship in Thee, who may say that Thou art a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. remembered, and widows, widowers, and orphans in all their needs and cares and concerns and sorrows, tribulations that are in this life. Help and strengthen in all the cares and the needs for all that pertains to the things that are here below. Lord, remember all of us this day. Oh, it is thy Sabbath day. Lord, we may come together. Oh, remember those who may not come together. Over the length and the breadth of the world that are persecuted for thy name's sake, strengthen them, encourage thy servants in such cases. And wilt thou look upon every one of thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world? Oh, help them this thy holy day. Give them strength, give them courage, and give them the unction of thy Spirit. Bless thy word that thou dost bring through their mouth. Oh, give us to separate, to take forth the precious from the vile, that we may plead with men as a dying man to dying men. And oh, that thy name may be glorified in the conversion of many, in the edification of thy church. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 261, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought, his right hand and arm most holy, triumph to his cause have brought. In his love and tender mercy, he hath made salvation known in the sight of every nation. He, his righteousness, hath shown. Psalter 261, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, 2 Peter chapter 3, the 14th verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, the 14th verse. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So far the words of our text. Peter urges the church of God to diligence. First, the motive to this diligence. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. Second, the meaning of this diligent. Be diligent. And third, the object of this diligence, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Thus, Peter urges the church to diligence, first, the motive, second, the meaning, and third, the object of this diligence. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, and what are they, those such things? That is what we have heard of last week. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Thus, he says, seeing that ye are looking toward these things, seeing that all the things that are here below are soon to be dissolved, are soon to be done away. Seeing, he says, that ye look for such things, then he does not question whether or not such things are coming to pass, but seeing, that is, that he expects them, that it is in his heart a certainty that these things are going to come, the devil is in so many ways busy to destroy the true church of God. And we can see that in the epistle here of Peter, because in his former epistle, then Peter is speaking about and warning the church of the persecutions that are going to be coming, that he would make them steadfast against all that the devil is bringing against that church of God. And now in the last chapter of his second epistle, then we can read how that he is warning the church against heresies. So another way in which the devil is attempting to destroy the church of God, then not from the outside, but that the devil is working even on the inside to bring heretics, to bring wolves in amongst the sheep. And now there is also, Peter says, something else. That he says that there will be scoffers, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Scoffers. What is that? That is a mocker. A mocker at the holy word of God. Do you do that too, boys and girls? Do you do that too, young people? Sometimes when you may be with your friends, and then you begin to mock with those things that you hear upon the Sabbath day. Oh, be careful, be careful. Then the Lord says that in the last days of this world, there will be scoffers, there will be mockers. And we see it all around us. The more rational knowledge that man receives in this world, the more that he is placing himself above that holy word of God. And then he is beginning to mock with those things. And why does he mock? Because he says, well, it is not evident. I don't see anything of it. Everything is the same. It continues to go every year, year by year, century by century, always the same as it was before. And so that prophecy that we can read of in the Word of God that is not coming to pass, just as if something cannot come to pass because it yet has not come to pass, which is utter foolishness. Peter says that they ought to look once at those scoffers, that they ought to look once at the history of this world. For this, he says, they are willingly ignorant of. Willingly ignorant, that means they don't want to look, they don't want to think about what has happened in our past. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Thus, he says, when we only look at what the Lord has done in the past, how that the Lord has restrained the heavens, how that the Lord has restrained the fountains of the earth until his own moment of time. And then it happened. And then the Lord let it go. And then the Lord came with his judgments. O congregation, is that not a mercy of the Lord, that we are not terrified day by day with the horrific changes that the Lord would be able to make within that universe in which we are living? And yet, oh, when we abuse that long suffering of the Lord, then it will be to our eternal judgment. It is on our side such foolishness to think that that long suffering of the Lord could mean that the Lord, he is not really going to come. Oh, we are confronted. We are confronted every day with the death of our fellow neighbors. And we still do not believe that we also will have to come to die? Or is that not proof that God is not a man that he should lie, but that we are the foolish ones? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Why is the Lord so long-suffering? Why is the Lord still waiting? That congregation is for the sake of his own elect. Then the Lord is waiting until that last one is brought in. That is the only reason that this world still stands. And the Lord is not willing that a single one of his elect, a single one of his chosen people, should perish with this world. And the world will wait until the last one is drawn in. There are souls that are beseeching the Lord. We read it in the Word of God. There are souls that are beneath the altar in heaven that are crying with a loud voice unto God, how long? How long? Before that thou dost avenge our blood. And what does the Lord answer to those souls that cry to him for the judgment of this world to come? The Lord says, you must rest yet. Rest a little while until thy fellow servants who should be killed as you were, until this should be fulfilled. Souls looking for that day. Or as the greater Joseph, also the bowels of that greater Joseph are yearning for the communion with his own children. What did the Lord Jesus say upon this world? He says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given unto me may be with me where I am, that they may see thy glory. And he is waiting. He is restraining himself, even as Joseph restrained himself from revealing himself unto his brethren, and from taking his brethren in with him in that moment, when he did yearn to make himself known, but he said, no, I cannot do it yet. And why not? Because all those brothers, they need to be taught. And now the Lord, he says, there are still those. Congregation, are they here too? Is it this one? Is it that one? Is it that one? Are they here too? Those for whom the Lord is still withholding, those for whose sake he is still restraining himself from pouring out his judgments upon the wickedness of this world, and coming to judge the quick and the dead. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. As soon as that last one is drawn in, as soon as the last one is converted, as soon as the last one has turned unto God, then he will no longer refrain himself. Oh, what a surprise. The Bible says it is going to be a surprise. Oh, a thief comes in the night when no one expects him. If he came when we had expected, oh, then he would be a restraint. The Lord says, no, it will be to everyone such a great surprise, boys and girls, when it would be in our lifetime. Oh, then there will be boys and girls who are sitting in the school. Then the father will be in the barn, and mother, she will be in the kitchen. And then, oh, suddenly, the Lord says, as a thief in the night, then suddenly that trumpet is going to be blown. Suddenly we are going to see him. Every eye shall see him, we read, coming in the clouds of heaven. As a thief in the night, suddenly everyone cut off. In a moment, the wicked and the righteous brought into that judgment of the Lord. Wherefore, beloved, oh, beloved, Peter is filled with love in his heart to the churches, to the souls of men. When he thinks upon that last day, then his heart that cannot bear to think about the consternation, to think about the terror, to think about the fright of fathers, of mothers, of children, of boys and girls, of grandfathers and of grandmothers. In that day when we will be taken by surprise and that he is coming as a thief in the night, oh, then his heart that is going out, he says, wherefore, beloved? He says, account. Account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. What is that? The long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He says, don't mock with that long suffering. Don't take that as a proof that the Lord is not coming. No, but he says, oh, make good use of that long suffering of the Lord every day. Every day is one more day that the Lord is restraining himself from coming to take his church home to himself. Every day is one more day that the Lord is restraining himself from casting out the wicked into that eternal abyss. Every day, one more day of opportunity that shall never, never return our whole life long to all eternity. There is one thing we may have, that is this present moment. We may have that. We have that from the Lord, but we don't know anything else. Not whether we shall leave the church of God this day. One thing only we may be sure, that our death and that eternal judgment of God is coming. Wherefore, he says, beloved, oh, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, what things? That new heaven and that new earth. Oh, seeing that it is so certain, seeing that ye look for such things, he says, what is now your life?
What manner of persons ought ye to be? How does this affect our life? Thus, what is he doing? He is giving the application. It is the application concerning the doctrine of the last things. And what does he say? When he speaks of the application, then he says, be diligent. That is our second thought. What is that? That is to hasten. That is to make haste. And that is to exert yourself. To whom does the prophet speak here? Actually, the prophet speaks unto the true church of God. Say the true church of God. Is it necessary that the Lord speaks unto his own people in this way? To be diligent? Does he need to say that to his own children? Is that not part of that new life? That diligence, that zeal? Did he need to say that to that leprous Naaman? To be diligent? Did he need to say that to the Canaanitish woman? To be diligent? Did he need to say that to a Ruth to be diligent? Oh no. And yet Peter says that here to the true church of God. He says, be diligent. Oh, it is a shame. But this admonition that often is so necessary, even within the true church of God. And Peter is writing this epistle. And when he writes this epistle, then he speaks of it two times. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That he says, I do it for this purpose. To stir you up. Oh, what a slothfulness can be found within that true church. Solomon knew of it. And we can see that in the life of Solomon. And Solomon explains it in the Song of Solomon. There he speaks about the bride. And that bride, she is lying upon that bed of slothfulness. And that bride, she needs to be awoken. Oh, then the bridegroom, he is knocking upon the door as if to awaken her out of her sleep. Oh, it is a shame. But must we not say that there are times in the life of God's church that you can hardly even see that any life exists anymore? Solomon lay sleeping. Samson lay sleeping in the bosom of Delilah. Oh, there you could see nothing of that spiritual life given to him by God. Oh, there he lost that strength that the Lord had given unto him. Therefore, what does the Lord say to his own people? Then he says to them, be diligent. A necessary exhortation in the life of his church. But that is not necessary only in the life of God's people. A congregation, it is so necessary also in the life of every single one of us. Be diligent. No, it's not necessary that I say that to you in your daily work. It's not necessary, perhaps, that I say that to you concerning your farm, concerning your construction, concerning whatever that your livelihood is. No, there you are very diligent, hopefully. There you are doing your labors, and that is all lawful and that is all good, because we may not be slothful in any of those things. But, congregation, how is it now? Beloved, beloved, how is it with the need of our soul? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. But you say you always tell us that we cannot do it. You always tell us that it has to come from above. You always say to us that it is a one-sided work. Congregation, may we live and die preaching that doctrine. And yet, we read so clearly in the Word of God, be diligent. Solomon sends us to the ends. Go to the end, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, gathereth her meat in the summer and her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou awake out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, yet a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. No, our inability, that is no excuse for sloth in our daily work, congregation, or then you would say that is foolishness. If, as a farmer, we would refuse to plant our seed in the ground because we would say that we cannot make it grow and that it has to come from the side of the Lord, then we would say it is your own fault when there is no food upon your table. No, we use all our might, we use all our ingenuity, we use all our strength to do our labors in this world, and we are beseeching the blessing of the Lord on all that we are doing, and so the Lord is giving to us what we need in this life. Is that not also the way of the Lord in giving His blessing upon His own work? That He commands us to be diligent, though we are thoroughly unable? Is the Lord not blessing that diligence, though we do not deserve it, though we have no rights to anything? And yet is it not pleasing to Him, and that He may give His blessing upon such a diligence? Peter, he uses a motive that is to stir up to that diligence within the church of God. What does he say? Seeing that ye look for such things. Seeing that everything is going to be dissolved. Seeing that it's all vanity and passing away. Seeing that Christ is coming to judge the quick and the dead. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. That is the object. That ye may be found of Him in peace. That is something. Do you fear to die? Why do we fear to die? Because after death, then there is the judgment, and we know we have a conscience that tells us we are guilty and that we cannot stand before a righteous God. Oh, beloved, beloved, is that not a blessed people? Who, when he comes, he may be found of him in peace. When all the world is calling to the mountains to fall on us, and to the hills to cover us, to hide us, to hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Is that not a blessed people who may in that day be found in peace? Is that not a blessed people whose house in that day is founded upon a rock? In that day when the winds blow, in that day when the rains come and they beat upon that house, no, they did not have so much rest in this life, as they were concerned to dig and to dig and to dig deeply, that it may be a good foundation upon which they are building their house. No, they did not have so much peace in this life when they trembled, as they were diligent to make their calling and election sure. But such shall be found of him in peace upon that last day. Oh, there was an old man in one of our congregations years ago who so feared for years to die. When that day of death came, oh, boys and girls, young people, listen, that man, he could come before the gates of death. You know what he said? He said, "Is this dying? Is this dying? That he may be found of him in peace." So he will come to deliver those who were all their lifetime through fear of death subject unto bondage, that ye may be found of him and in peace without spot and blameless. What a way to stand before our judge without spot, it says, and blameless. When we are blameless congregation, when we stand before an earthly judge, we have no fear. Because we have no guilt. And we are innocent. And we can go in before that judge with what? Confidence. And we are not afraid. So Paul says, how is it that we can come before the judge without fear? It is congregation when we are found in peace, without spot and blameless. Who can be found in such a way? Without spot and blameless. When we would have to appear before the judgment seat of God in this day. Oh, congregation, how far you and I are from without spot and blameless. And that is why Peter, he says, be diligent. To do what? Be diligent. Oh, to be washed. Be diligent to be cleansed in that blood that can cleanse and that can wash from all our iniquity, be diligent. Be diligent, congregation, beloved, to seek the forgiveness of all your iniquity. Oh, be diligent. Be diligent that you may receive a surety, that you may receive a Savior, a Redeemer for your poor, never dying soul. Go to the end. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Be diligent to be clothed with that blood-bought righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may be covered from head to foot with righteousness that can appear before God. Oh, be diligent. Be diligent that you might hear it from His own mouth, and that without fear that you will be able to stand before Him in that judgment day. Let us sing. Let us sing Psalter 125, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King, forsake the world and every former friend. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 125. Diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. At His coming, all those who are yet alive are going to be, as we read here, found of Him. And what does the Lord Jesus say? And then He says, watch, He says, lest when He come that He should find you sleeping. That does not mean in a literal way.
lest he should find us sleeping in our beds, because many shall also be in their beds taking their daily rest. But sleeping, that is, that we are not watching, that we are not expecting, that we are not, as Peter says here, diligent. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought ye to be? Do we ever consider that? What manner of person am I? We all have our character. And who we are, yes, that is not what Peter is speaking about here, our personality. But he is speaking, congregation, about our life. Not only the inward life, but also even our outward life. In all holy conversation and godliness. Actually, the word conversation, that is not meaning what we speak about as conversation, speaking to one another, but it means our manner of life, our conduct, our deportment in this world. How are we behaving in this world? And also, and he says, and godliness. What is that? That is reverence. That is respect. That is to stand in awe of God. The fear of God in our daily walk, the fear and of Him in His law. Then when we speak about diligence, then we do not say that a man may not do his daily work. No, we all have our calling, and when he comes, Then Luther, he says, then if he will come tomorrow, then I still would plant my tree today. Yes, that has to be our daily calling. The Lord may find us in our daily calling and ought to find us in that daily calling. But in that calling, congregation, what is our conduct? What is our manner of life? What is our behavior? Where will he find us? Will he find us with our heart in this world? Will he find us with a desire after this world? James says, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Is the Lord concerned with our outward life? All we hear, many people, they say the Lord says he looks on the heart and not on the outward appearance. And so the Lord, he is not concerned about the outward things. He is only concerned with how that is in our heart. If that is true, then many places that I find in the Bible have to be taken out of the Bible. Because there are also so many things where the Lord in his word, not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament also, only read the epistles. Many things in his word where the Lord is commanding us concerning our outward life. The Lord tells us how we ought to dress. The Lord tells you girls how you ought to do your hair. That is in the Bible. Do you ever read it? That is the truth. That is not the words of men. That is the word of the Most High God.
And therefore, Peter, he says, beloved, beloved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness in the conduct of our life? How, congregation, will we be found of him? And if the Lord should come in this day, and if the Lord should come on the clouds of heaven in the week that is to come, how will we be found of him? How will you be found of him, young people, boys and girls? Will you be found of him rebelling against your father and against your mother? Will you be found of him drinking alcohol? Will you be found of him using drugs? Will you be found of him gaping at all kinds of filth on the internet? Oh, fathers and mothers, how will we be found of him? Will we be found of him watching? Are we so unwatchful of our children that we allow that internet in our home without a filter? Do we need it at all? That must be our first question. And if so, do we realize how dangerous that it is? That to have no fences and no walls around such an evil, what we expose our children to, will we be found so unfaithful? Or will he find us teaching our children? Will he find us warning our children? Will he find us restraining our children to the utmost of our ability? It is, beloved, oh beloved, shocking to hear of the incest that is in our own denomination. Shocking. Do you know where your family is? Do you know what your family is doing? Are you watching? Or do we naively say, it cannot happen to me? Cannot happen to my family? Oh no, be diligent. It can happen, and it does happen, because we are evil and we are sinful, sinful people. Be diligent. Oh beloved, how are we going to be found of him? Or will we be found as an abomination to him? Oh, I think if some of our boys would be found by us in a dress, in a skirt, with a necklace, and with long hair, that would be to us abominable. We would say, you make yourself boy, you make yourself feminine as a girl. And I hope that it will never happen amongst our children and amongst our grandchildren. But, congregation, must we not say that because the world has accepted it, that it is also being accepted more and more in our own circles, and that our girls
do not appear as girls, can leave off that feminine clothing, the skirt and the dress. And we don't see that as abominable anymore. It is one commandment. The same for the boys as it is for the girls. The same. And though it is not abomination to us anymore, it remains an abomination to the Lord. Oh, beloved, these things ought not so to be. Oh, beloved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What a manner of life. What a behavior also in this world. Godliness. The fear of God. Awe. Reverence. How do we come even to his house? What are you doing, young people? Oh, do you put your head down? Oh, shall the Lord find you that way? Do we come dressed to the house of God in a casual way? Before the holy and the righteous God in his holy house? Oh, beloved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Oh, how will he find us, parents? Husbands, wives, will he find us fighting? Will he find us bickering one with another? Oh, that blessed union that he has made between the man and the woman. And will he find a breach in us? Oh, young people. That does not begin after you are married. No, that begins already in the one that you are seeking. When you are young and you are looking. You know, Paul, he speaks about not being unequally yoked. And what is he referring to? He refers to the Old Testament where the Lord says, thou shalt not plow with an ass and an ox together. And why not? He says, that is cruel. Because an ox is much bigger. And because an ox is much stronger. And these two, you are trying to get some work done, yes, but they cannot pull the same. And then that yoke that is a burden on the one. And they are struggling more to pull together than they are struggling to do their labors. Paul says, oh, he says, so that is so often when we have not the same foundation. Oh, seek young people out of our own people. A mate for this life. Is that a solution to everything? No. Does that mean that we stand above anyone else? Oh, absolutely not. We are much worse. Does that mean they cannot be converted? Oh, we don't say that at all. Because sometimes, oh, then those are brought in. But so often, then you see these two people. And they are struggling more to get along with each other. And then they have energy to do anything else. And what a pity. Oh, what a pity. And then it is too late. Then you are married. Oh, and then the Lord comes. And when the Lord comes, oh, how does he find such families in such an upheaval? Oh, then there is so much tension. Be diligent. Oh, that starts now. That starts today. Beloved. Beloved.
seeing all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? You understand, we can go on and on, can we not? About the entertainment that is in this world, about seeking the riches that are in this world, about the gossiping that men and women are doing in this world, about the hatred and the envy and the revenge that is laying in our heart. We can go on and on. There were sins of the Old Testament that we read in the Bible, the Lord winked at. The Lord winked at. That was even the sin of polygamy. Polygamy. The Lord winked at. And now what does the apostle say? He says, but now the Lord commandeth men everywhere to repent. And why? He says, the Lord is coming. How shall we be found in our daily life when the Lord is coming? What is our life? Seeing congregation that we look for such things. The world does not look for those things. That is why that we ought to be so different than the world. Is that evident in our life? Will our separation from the world in our daily life, will that convert us? No, that will not convert us. But we may be sure that when we are seeking all that is in this world, that will be to our destruction. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Oh, may the Lord stir up our souls, that we may forsake the world and every former friends, beloved, that we may be given to walk in the ways of the Lord, and to seek for a mediator between God and our soul, that we may seek to be forgiven, that we may seek to be washed, that we may seek to be cleansed, that we may be able to stand before that judgment seat of God, and that when He comes, that He may not find us steeped in all the pleasures and the desires of this world, and may God's children also be stirred up. Oh, that the affections, that they may not be on all the things that are here below, but that they may be on those things that are above, looking and hastening unto the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that it is well with my soul before the Lord. Oh, be diligent to be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what are we but wretched and miserable creatures? Our whole life in the outward things and also in the inward things, all that can be so upside down. Lord, forgive all that is amiss within and without. Wash and cleanse us from all our sins, and give us a desire to walk in Thy ways. Make us heavenly minded, that we may truly be pilgrims here below, looking for that day that Thou art coming, that is in our own death, or when Thou wilt come upon the clouds. Wilt Thou forgive all that was sinful in the preaching and in the listening? Crown it with Thy blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing psalter is number 428, stanzas 1 and 2. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make His word their treasure, who keep His testimonies and display their love for Him whose goodness none can measure. 1 and 2 of Psalter 428. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.